Me too. For sure.
Okay, so we're going to start here on the Makoros sheet on page 12. I want us to review quickly the Gemara and Gitin Peches Amidbeis, starting from the Mishnah of Get Musa Yisrael. So, who prepared the Mishnah well? Ned, why don't you get us started? See what you could do on your own without artificial intelligence helping you. Hotter, louder. So what do we learn from the first part of this Mishnah?
That there are different standards of urban for Israel and for
that. Right now you could access the Google Doc on your computers, right? I'm just gonna highlight where we're covering. We could project it on the screen if anyone feels strongly about it, but is this fine for now?
I feel strongly about it. It's much easier.
All right.
I'm not fast between two windows.
All right. We'll do that next year. Go ahead, Ned.
Yeah. So there are different standards for Get Musa for Jews and non Jews.
So what is the idea of Get Musa Bistral Kasher? Let's focus on that part for a second.
So if you force the vowel to be added, so if you force Israel to do it, then again, it's kosher.
Yeah, so we know that you could force somebody to give a get, correct? Why is that problematic on its face? What does that contradict? Ratzon Aval, right? We saw last month that a major theme in Gerushin, which is the Makoros leading up to page 12 in this document, is that you need the husband's will. You need his ratzon to give the get. The Rambam says, that teaches you that you need that comes from the Midrash Halacha. You need the Ratzon Aval in order to affect the Gerushin. There's no divorce without the husband initiating it, consenting to it, etc. And yet, to bring into the Masechta and Peches Amibes, the Mishnah throws us through a loop, right? The Mishnah says, Ty, do you have the sources? Okay. The Mishnah says that you could coerce somebody to give a get. Get Musa Bistral Kasher. So we had to figure out how to reconcile those two principles. We all agree that on their face, they're inconsistent. Ned, do you agree? Okay. The Gemara qualifies this slightly. I'm Rav Nachman. Okay, so what do we have a distinction here between?
When it's done properly versus when it's done improperly.
How do we define properly? No, what do you think kedin means versus shalokedin? Yudi?
I thought it was proper ground principle.
Meaning what?
Meaning the qualifications we first talked about, the qualifications where the woman can ask for the get.
Exactly. Cases where the halacha allows for kfiya. Meaning, Amar Nachman Amar Shmuel, get a musa b'sol kedin kasher. That which we said that a coerced get is kasher, that's only when it's coerced kedin, meaning when it's in the scenarios, within the cases, where the halacha allows for the get or requires a get to be given. Right, the case in Siman Kuf Nundalat of Elu Kuf and Mahutzi, the seventh paragraph of Ksivis. Everybody see that? Yeah? Now, the Gemara says, Shalokidin, what's the halacha? Pasol uposel. So what's that? What does that mean? Pasol uposel? You can't, the get is possible. It's defective. Defective midaraisa or defective midrabana, usually posel.
You're right.
No. Kobe?
It's usually midrabana. The posel means that you can't be a kohen.
Yeah.
It's some sort of get.
Right. Posel means that it's enough of a kosher get that now she's psula le tamaria kohen. And posel means that it's only posel midrabana on here. Right. You could see the contrast to the discussion of B'nai Noach, right? A filu ain't recha get in bo.
Okay, so practically there's no difference.
We'll talk about what's the difference whether it's called Pasul Midrash or Midrabana. We'll talk about that later. But does everybody see for a moment here that we're saying that there is a case of coerced get, a get could be coerced. There's a distinction within the Kedin and Shalokedin In both cases, we're saying at the Midoraisa, it seems like a get could be coerced even Shalokadin. Midrabanan, it can only be coerced Kedin. That means at the Doraisa level, there's broad discretion about Bezdin's power to coerce the husband to give a get. Okay? There's one day in the Gemara, in the Gemara's inquiry about Ovdei Kochavim, the view of Rabbi Misharshia. What's Rabbi Misharshia's view? Ned, what's Rabbi Misharshia's view? The Midoraisa get that's coerced by non-Jewish authorities is also kosher. That's Rabbi Misharshia's view. That too seems to be, that seems to be an even more expansive view about the powers to coerce a get, because you're saying even a non-Jewish tribunal could force somebody to give a get, and that get would be kosher in the Torah. The Gemara ends up rejecting Rav Misharshia. You can see the Gemara says Rav Misharshia is a badusa he. Everybody catch on the next line. And then when the Gemara turns around, time am I, I think we're pretty sure that time am I implies what? With respect to coercion of a non-Jewish authority, the Midoraisa, it's no good. So that seems to impose a significant limit on when a coerced get is kosher. Why am I raising this right now? Because I want us to consider the following issue, the Moshe. I want us to consider the following issue. When we talk about coercing someone to give a get, if all that matters is the result, say that the guy says "Rotze ani," right? That coerce him until he consents. If that extracted consent is considered good consent, then why would you ever distinguish between kedin and shalokedin, and Ovdei Kochavim versus Bezdin Shel Yisrael? What matters is that you taught the guy that this is what he really wants to do. Okay? So I think there is a thought out there that for kviya, all that matters, kofan osavachi marotzani, you beat the person until he consents. Doesn't matter how you extract that consent. It's his declaration of rotzani that matters. But that seems to be inconsistent with some of the distinctions you get in the Gemara. The distinction between a Jew and a non-Jew in the second day of the Gemara. If you think that a non-Jewish coercion would not result in a kosher get, you have the same results.
Oh, yeah, no, that makes sense.
Right? Why does it matter if the person who's twisting his arm is a Jew or a non-Jewish authority? You get rotzani in each case. You know, so according to Misharshia, that kfiya b'ovdei kochavim should be okay. Maybe that's true. Maybe it's true that the halacha here is about the result of extracting rotzani, and if you have rotzani, you have das. But according to the Gemara's Maskana, when we reject Rav Misharshia and we say that Rav Misharshia is a badusahi, it's a mistake, it's an erroneous opinion, it seems that the ingredients for a get ma'usa are more or at least different from simply extracting rotzani at the end. From me?
It's also true for din and shalokedin, right?
Also true for din and shalokedin, at least at the drabanan level. Because kedin and shalokedin, the fact that Yisrael shalokedin is pasal l'posel implies that it's just a drabanan distinction between kedin and shalokedin.
Yeah.
Yisrael. So it's not, so you do get the distinction that it's more than rotzani, but you might say there's some rabbinic concern to apostle it in a case where it's shalokedin. I think the Doraisa distinction between Akam and Yisrael, Kfiya b'Akam, Kfiya b'Yisrael, is a stronger way of grounding the fact that it's not just that we want the result of rotzani. Good? Josh?
Wouldn't you say that the rejection of the distinction between the Jews and non-Jews is just like a technical one, though? It's just about like whether or not like people are going to get confused or something. So it sounds like really, fundamentally, there isn't a difference.
No? Well, in Rashashi says, Dvar Torah, get Me'usa, Bovdei Kochavim Kasher. Umatam Mamru Possil, Shalote Kalakas Vakas, Halakas Tolas and Bobde Kochavim, of Kesasim Yad Baila. That's a Mishar Shia, right?
Yeah.
So then when the Gemara rejects our Mishar Shia, because it says, Yahachi Shalokadin, Afilu Riach HaGet Embo. Benahavi Shalokadin Ki Yisrael, Mifsal Nami Lifsal. The Gemara doesn't like that, right? So then the Gemara says, Ella, must be that our Mishar Shia is mistaken, but time am I. Kedin bichdin di Yisrael michlef, shelo kedin bichdin di Yisrael lo michlef. What's the Gemara saying at that stage, Josh?
I thought my book was talking about like whether or not like you know people are going to get confused and right. So
how do you read that line? Is that line of the Gemara saying that Akum Kedin is in principle no good, but we treat it as posel uposel so that people will not come to think that a get musa be yisrael is a no get. Right? We want people to see cases of a kfiya get and not automatically discount them as invalid. And the Gemara's concern is that if we were to say that a get musa ba'akvam is totally invalidated, people won't appreciate that there are scenarios where a get musa b'Yisrael is kosher. Make sense?
No, I mean, the concern is that if you switch a kedin akvam with a kedin, that if you would think that a kedin akvam and a kedin Yisrael are the same, that would be an issue.
What's that?
They're concerned that you will think that a kedin akum and a kedin yisrael have the same
right meaning that well
like what are they concerned about? What's the distinction in the din that they're concerned about?
Seems like they're concerned that a kedin ba'akum and a kedin b'yisrael are too similar.
And no, but I'm saying therefore you would think that a kedin akum would have what that it should that it would have. Meaning what, like, the confusion will lead to the problem of, presumably, what they were saying before about graphic X.
No, the confusion is that you would think that there would be no status to a, there would be no shame get when a Jewish Besdin coerces Kedin. That's what you would think if you just had the actual rule of Kfiya Ba'akum Kedin being Enoget.
Right.
Okay. Ezra, you have a quick comment?
Yes. My idea is that it seems like this would actually be more confusion because you now have a scenario where in the Kedin case for one group of people, the halakha outcome is the same as Shalokedin for another group of people. It seems that it's very easy that people would get confused and go, oh, in every case, the halakha is Sulukosel. When the other two cases were.
Yeah, the dinim are still different, but at least you're saying that there's some viability to such a get.
But I'm saying. So we're saying that's an acceptable outcome for people to think that Pasul of Kosel is the outcome for Get Musa of Yisrael.
Yeah, or at least they think that, like, hey, we're not writing off the possibility of a Get Musa being kosher. Because Pasul of Kosel means that there's some vitality to the Get, just it's rabbinically disqualified.
You don't run into the Kohen, but you still run into issues of you might have people now living together thinking, oh, like they're still married.
Yeah, it's hard to get into the head of Chazal, like what chashos they saw people as confusing, right? For our purposes, what's important is whether is the two days or whether get ba'akum is meikra din kosher or meikra din eno get. Yeah. Good? All right. Let's turn to... Related Gemara for a second. So I want us to skip for a second. What are the two other Gemaras? What are the three Gemaras that lie at the center of the Sugya? Which three Sugyas? Benji?
This one, the one Erechin, and the one Bava Basra.
Good. Erechin, Bava Basra, and Gittin. We just read the bulk of the Gittin Sugya, right? Erchin is the next piece, so let's look at that for a second. So that's on page 13. Let's just chazer the Mishnah here. Erchin Chafalef. Benji, you want to?
Yeah.
Chayim Erchin.
Mashkin Nato.
Aim and mashkanin olsan. Mashkan is from the language of taking a security, forcing.
Right.
Like garnishing, taking away. So would you force somebody to pay their donation to the Mishkan, Chive Erchen, Chiv Chatas and Asham, right? Would you force the person to bring it? Chayve Olo Sushlamim. Pause. So what does that mean? We force people to bring their car. If you have an Ola liability, the Bezin will force you to bring your Ola. But that's a problem. Why?
Because you only get para once. Oh, only the person giving korban actually wants to be giving korban.
Good, and that's learned from Zeres Hakasa of Lertzono.
Lertzono.
But nevertheless, somehow we're Mashkin Nosan. We force people to bring them. So again, you have the same problem as you have in Gittin, correct? So what does the Mishnah say? What does that mean? So what's that? That's a resolution, right? So. The Gemara says, "Mamachkan osan," so we force. The Gemara objects, "Af bishem iskaper lo ad shiyisratze." But what about the fact that you need the consent of the niskaper? Kofan osan adchim rotzani. So we force him to give consent. Right, that's the. This is the first time we've seen this notion of kofan osan adchim rotzani. Right. Does this phrase strike you as paradoxical? Kofan osan adchim rotzani, or do you see this and say this is? Good legal principle.
Which seems strange to me this whole time, and I guess I was figuring the reason about answering this. It's like, why do we even need him to say Rotsan? Like, why do we need that? Just dissolve the get ourselves. Like, if Bezdin is allowed to, like, you know, like, hold the guy to the fire until he says Rotsan, then what purpose is him saying Rotsan even serving at that
point? So that sounds like you're saying this is paradoxical.
Yeah, for sure.
Right, because this you're basically saying the road sign is insignificant.
Yeah, we're forcing him to say road sign. He doesn't actually want to.
No, but
right. Last semester, we gave the example of the ISIS prisoner in his orange jumpsuit who has two Kalashnikovs to his head, and he says, "You know, my captives are treating me really well. Right, they give me all the food I need. Praise be Allah, I've converted to Islam." Right. And he has two rifles to his head. And no one sees that and thinks that this guy is telling the truth or speaking his mind or what his internal conviction. Right? So this is just a version of that. So itself is paradoxical. Now, I take it that Yonatan's suggestion is that maybe you don't really need Rotsani. And that's why Yonatan's suggesting it's strange that the Mishnah requires it. Right. What really matters is that in the end of the day, he's giving the get. You know, that's your suggestion, right?
Yeah.
You have to do some serious reinterpreting of all the mekoros about ratzon habal v'hayam losim sachen be'enav. I guess you would interpret that to just mean that you need the baal to drive the gerushin. If the baal is in turn driven by something else, it doesn't matter as long as he initiates. What the halacha is forbidding is that the bezin can't directly initiate the gerushin, but they could prod the husband. He just has to get the. It doesn't matter how the husband got rolling.
What's strange to me is that the halacha of gerushin up until now seemed very, very sensitive, like the emotions and internal feelings of those involved. With like some positions even saying that, like if he has like run someone to divorce her, person is what's the word that we were using? Das to divorce her. That's already enough. That I mean, that's. Some degree of garrison. And I mean, yeah, and now, now we're saying that, like, you could force him, he doesn't want to get divorced, but he says that I want to get divorced, and that's, like, mechanistically, like, him, like, driving the divorce. It seems really strange.
Yeah. Yeah. So, who's in agreement with Yonatan that this is a surprising concept? Yeah. Remember you guys? Yeah, I think it's pretty. Daniel, you.
I think the idea of Rotsani, I think it's different. I think it has a different sense of like, oh, he wants to divorce his wife, but he wants to give her the get, and he wants to divorce his wife. He wants to give her the get, Rotsani, to divorce her in order so that they stop torturing him.
Yeah.
But like, therefore, there is, so the Rotsani is the whole idea to stop them, like, if they.
Good.
Beat him up,
so right? Daniel's in the exact opposite camp of Yonatan, and he's saying that Yeah, yep. Rodzani is really what matters, right? Because given the duress that he's under, so he really wants to free himself from the coercion. And Rodzani is just his affirmation that he's supplying his das. Who cares that his das is in order to terminate the coercive pressure?
Right, the only way to do it is to get rid of the get.
Right, you convince Yonatan. That's easy. Okay, does everybody see the? I mean, there are two ways of looking at this. This claim of the Mishnah on Erchin. Either we're saying that Ratzon Das is not as significant as we initially thought. Kofanos Achiyama Rotzani. Get that. That's the sense you get from where? Which Gemara? Where?
From, was it Erchin?
No, not from Erchin. Because Erchin's, which Gemara would suggest maybe what Yonatan was saying, that Das is not even so important?
In Gittin, where there's no mention of Rotzani.
Yeah, in Gittin, in the Gemara in Gittin, there's no mention of Rotzani. Now again, you could say Divrei Torah Niyim b'Makom Echad b'Ashirim b'Makom Acher, and you're supposed to bring the two Gemaras into conversation with each other. Like, we're supposed to know that you can't read Gittin Peches without Erchin Chafalev. But if you just read the Mishnah in Gittin, the Mishnah in Gittin says, Ged Musa b'Yisrael Kasher. You could coerce him. Doesn't make any statement that, by the way, the mechanism has to be through twisting his arm until he says Rotzani. Right? The Gemara in Erchin says, oh, there's this mechanism of Kofanos Hachim Rotzani. Let's just read the B'chein HaTamar B'Gitin Hashem. That's all about Karbanos that we just read, right? B'chein HaTamar B'Gitin Hashem. What? Kofanos Hachim Rotzani. The Gemara explicitly makes this extension to Gitin. Okay. Now look here at the Bryce in the Gemara in Chafalaf and Erchin that I'm highlighting. Tanar Abanan. So this Gemara, this Bryce is even more explicit. Yakir Voso means that you could force the carbon to be brought automatically, no matter what. What do you do with Lirtzono? So you got to reconcile the dialectic, the thesis, the antithesis. So what's the Kasva Shishim Achri B'Nayim? That's the sense in which it's coerced, but that also explains the sense in which it's consented to. Okay. Ezra?
So to me, these two Gemaras seem to actually be a little bit contradictory, because
Erchin and
Gittin. Gittin
Pechas.
Yeah, that's because if what we care about is him giving over his das, even if it's under coercion, then it shouldn't matter whether it's Kiddin or Shalom Kiddin, because he's given over his das.
Right.
On the flip side, if what we care about is Kiddin or Shalom Kiddin, then it seems that it's just we're enforcing this case that exists. Why is it?
What do you mean that we're enforcing this case that
meaning,
exists?
If we're saying it's Kiddin, then it's just this is a case where he should be giving the get. So.
But even in a case where he should be giving the get, the point is Gittin aren't given automatically. Like, you need a Baal to divorce. Like, the husband has to divorce his wife. There's no divorce without the husband divorce. Like, what does it mean to be divorced? It means the husband's divorcing his wife. There's no husband. There's no divorce process to be initiated. So you have to prod him to get him to initiate the divorce process.
Exactly. Why do we necessarily care so much about the verbal formulation? Why don't we just go, like, we make you write, why do we care at all about this verbal formulation then?
Yeah, this was Yonatan's question before Daniel solved it for him.
Yeah, because I don't know how well Daniel's works. Daniel works if you're going with more, if him giving over the das of the driver.
Yeah.
But if him going over the das of the driver, then you run into the issue of then even Shaloki Dana should be valid.
Good, so let me take your point and put it into maybe slightly more yeshivish terms. Maybe what you're saying is yesh lachkor in the process of gerushin, do we need the husband's das, ratzon, consent, etc.? Or do you simply need him to initiate the divorce process? Then the nafkamina is whether you could get him to initiate the divorce process without his das ratzon. Right? So does everybody see that? Does everybody see the difference between those two? Yes or no? You might even distinguish, if you want to put it in more philosophical terms, between, are we dealing in the realm of volition and will? That we need, an ingredient of gerushin is that we need the husband to want to divorce his wife, to will to divorce his wife? Or is the point more about the theory of action, that the husband has to be the actor? He has to undergo the activity of divorcing his wife. Do I see the difference between those two? So you might think that a case of coercion is a nafkamina between them. Under coercion, you don't have his volition or his will, but you do have his action. In the end of the day, he's telling the sofer to write the get. You can think of these like, you know, what are good examples of this in other areas of halacha? Well, maybe like psik reisha type cases in Hilchos Shabbos, right? Where you don't want to do the second action, you don't have das or ratzon to do the resultant action, but there's a certain sense that because the second action follows directly from your first thing, then it's as if you're doing the second thing also, right? Like a psik reisha type scenario. It's higher than Rami.
Contrast from the sausage.
Well,
contrast from the
sausage. Arguably, the sausage, you're not doing any. It's not even your action. Yeah. Yeah. You know, this is like the Reb Chaim on the Yehar Gval Yavor for Shvichas Damim. Right. So, someone puts a gun to your head and says, "Kill so and so." So you're not allowed to kill them. There, the thought is that you're not willing to kill them. You're not volitionally killing them, but you're the actor who'd be killing them. That's prohibited. In a case where they were to throw you on top of somebody that would kill the victim, there is not even your action. Something like that. Okay, so Romy, you had a comment?
Yeah, this would just mean that you have to read all the
this, when you say this, which theory? Do you mean
the
let me put this out. I think the Pashup shot, when most people read the Thibe Abaligare stuff,
is volition,
correct.
Okay, so the action thing.
Basically, Yonatan and now Ezra's point is that maybe the volitional dimension of Gittin is not as important as we thought.
Okay, so therefore, you need all those.
Correct. It's just about what's considered the Baal's action.
Okay. You think we
could
do that?
Well,
do you think that's manageable?
We have to see.
And
the nice thing is that you could explain why Kofnos Rachem Rotsani works.
Yeah.
Right. That's the, you're solving the paradox.
And is there a third
the other way to go is to go Daniel's way and say that no, Kofanos Hachimrotsani, he does supply the volitional das because the halacha has a quirky theory about what counts as your will, right? It's your will to not be beaten up anymore, which is enough to say that it's your will to get divorced if you want to get divorced to stop the pressure.
And is there room for like a third, more extreme approach that like rejects the
Ratzon HaBaal
in this case
entirely? Flesh it out.
You were saying something about it in the shiur we had before the break about the idea of the consequentialist kind of thing, that one way to think about this is if you don't allow for Genlusa, then you have never have a case where...
Well, basically, so you've written off the seventh paragraph of this. Is that the idea, or is that what you're saying? Or?
Yeah, that's kind of, I guess that's a, right.
I guess, so say more about that. Are you trying to say that a third way of understanding this is to say that this is a touches off Ezra's point that kiddin and shelo kiddin denotes two separate classes of gittin?
Most
of the time, a get has to requires the volition will of the Baal. But there's a separate class of gittin of elu kofim lahotzi, simen kufman dalid, and seventh parak oksivis, where wherever the halacha prescribes kviya, in those cases, the halacha says it's sufficient to have the action of the Baal. You don't need dasa Baal. And so it's like there are two dinim in gittin. Gittin that are initiated by the husband, those require his will. Gittin that are enforced by the Bezdin, those it's sufficient to have the action. Okay. That would explain the Kedin and Shlokedin distinction in Gittin Pechas. You're saying that there's this just...
But you don't think there's any world, I guess, sorry, you don't think there's any world in which a way to say that even the action of the Baal is not necessary. Or you just think that this...
That you don't need the action of the Baal B'chal.
Right.
I don't see that. Because then, how do you make sense of it? So you're saying in cases of Eilu Kufim Lahotzi?
Sure.
I think it's hard to say that. Why do you require Kufin Oso Achim Rotsani?
You could say it's like just like control.
Even Get Mahusa requires that you get the husband to initiate the get.
Right. You have to, right.
So I think there's no world in which Gittin are not driven by the husband divorcing his wife. The Bezdin doesn't divorce you. The court doesn't divorce you. The husband divorces his wife. That's just the way it's set up in Jewish law. David, you had a comment?
Well, yeah. Two things. The first one is the second thing in defense of the point is that I'm pretty sure that like an established concept of the law in general, like there's this every wrong name in the city of like the confusion is like that really also the
Zana Makurshi, but Basra and then Zion.
Right. So like in the sort of issue of like, no, I legitimately want it in the moment, and whether I want it inherently or whatever, like it's a valid halakhic mechanism.
Yes. That's what I was calling the quirky theory, right? Like the idea is that guy who has the two Kalashnikovs pointed at his head, maybe he converted to his, like, he really wanted to convert to Islam because he didn't want to be killed. He really wanted it given the circumstances of his life.
I guess the question was what level of doubt. Like, I think in order to like actually convert, let's say, we would want a higher level of doubt than someone saying, I want to be Jewish, but maybe not. But also, like, I think that the wording of Rotsani is not like doesn't really lend itself to an idea where we just wanted to start a process, because it could just be like Kokenoso Achomer, like Achik Kotabaget or something. But
right.
it goes out of its way to give language of Russian.
Yeah. Well, actually, Yoma Rotsani. Well, what does that language mean?
Well, it's
this means I consent.
Right, but that's passive. Like they're not saying we until he says like I start like until he writes again, or until he says like, so like I divorced her or whatever. The language that we typically have been using has been like Achi Garish or whatever. Right? But now we're saying
Kovanos Achi Garish. Interesting.
But now we're saying Omer Rotsani. Like I think it's doing it on purpose. Now, like it wouldn't just throw it out there.
Just so to teach us what?
To teach us that we care. It's not an issue of him starting a process, but it's an issue of him really consenting, like saying, meaning not saying yes, divorce her, but him saying I want to divorce.
Truly getting his will. I understand. You're saying the fact that it's formulated as Achim Rotsani means that this is he has to be on board.
Sure.
He has to want it. We don't stand there moving his hand as he writes the get.
Rip, I'm saying I think even if he were to just write a get and say while he was writing it, I don't want to divorce her, it would not be sufficient.
Right.
Because, you know, what we want is a fully valid get of him saying, I want to divorce my wife.
Okay.
Whether it's...
We have to reserve judgment on the final call, right? We just want to map it out first. But yeah, I hear that. I think the diag is really interesting that it's formulated as Achim Rotsani.
That wouldn't undermine the quirky theory.
Well,
that wouldn't undermine the idea about...
No, it's still quirky because I think David's endorsing the idea that kfiya could give rise to true das. True Ratzon. That's
right. As
David's ear, right? I think many of us find that strange. Yonatan initially found it strange, right? you find it strange?
Yeah, for sure.
I was actually asking Nakshani.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just saying. I'm pointing to you.
Yeah, it's
Yoni, did you have a hand? Yoni and then Josh. And... Okay, Josh.
I don't know if this is what Zolfi meant, but could also make a distinction about whether, let's say, if he does really, let's say we're saying that he does really want to do it, is it because he really wants to do this action, he wants to get it, because he wants pain to stop? You know, it kind of relates also like Sforno in this week, Parsha, that Shem hardens Paro's heart because if he's just being like, so I think he gives the analogy if you're like being hit on the head or something like that, and you want the pain to stop, so Paro would let the nature will go. But by hardening his heart, allows him to make like a true decision. That kind of relates here, whether it's.
Yeah, good. So you're saying that this is about the complexity of when has somebody made a decision? Like, what does it mean to volitionally make a decision?
Yeah, like if we're saying that it isn't just.
So if I want the pain to stop, am I saying that I want to divorce my wife? Or am I saying that I want the pain? I just want the pain to stop.
Yeah.
The way to get it to stop is to say that I'll divorce my wife. But that's not das for divorcing my wife.
Yeah.
That's your point. That's an anti-Zolti claim, right? Because Zolti, your view is that if your view is that you really want to divorce your wife to get the pain to stop.
Yeah. You want to divorce that.
Good. And Josh is saying, no, you really want the pain to stop. You don't want to divorce your wife. Right, that's the yeah. What do you think the disagreement here is between Daniel and Josh?
I didn't take your metaphysics class last semester.
But... yeah, it's not a metaphysics question. It's more of a practical deliberation.
Do people really want to do the right thing?
Hold up on the right thing. I don't think the right thing part is related yet. This is just saying, in a case where I agree to X because that's the only way to get Y, am I agreeing? Do I really agree, or do I really have the will for X? Ned, what do you think?
I think that we want the right thing is an important factor.
I think that's an important factor in this.
Yeah, what are assumptions about like the true inner identity of people?
Right.
There might be a true
like what are the mechanics of practical deliberations? Yeah.
You're asking me, or
you're saying that's what it depends on.
Yeah.
Benji, you have an answer? Or?
Yeah, I think that when we're saying this like one true dot without any external factors influencing it is just not true. Like just even if you're trying to sell your land or something. Like, do you really want to, like, lose your land? No, but you think that you'll make a profit or, you know, or you need to buy food for your family. You're kind of wondering, you're just weighing factors. So why is that so?
You're saying all these considerations are tied into each other. There's no such thing as, like, wanting to get divorced in a vacuum.
And specifically in these cases also, because this is clearly a case where, like, the woman is initiating the divorce, or, you know, or the victim is initiating it.
But it's like, for example,
well? No, like, if he's hitting his wife, right, the victim is, or he's repulsive to his wife, he doesn't want to change the situation if he would have initiated the divorce, but she's initiating it, the victim's initiating it. So what's the standard case where he just says, like, all right, I guess I'll do it, like, I'll give the divorce, not because, like, I'm running to give the divorce, but because either I don't want to be, you know, like I think that it's the right to sit, like it's the right thing, like I'm a generous person to my wife, or I don't want to be kicked out of the community, or
right,
this is just
right.
Like the advice that I've gotten, and it like seems to make sense.
Good.
So that are all those things so different than tying up by the penis? It could be that if it wasn't bait there, if someone else was screwing it off and forcing it to sell the land, and that would be like a bad thing of them to do. and that would be illegal. Would be sold under that condition to kind of to replace under it because.
I think your point, Benji, is that there's no such thing as rut zone in a vacuum.
Right.
Or like all decisions are tied into other considerations. Right.
Yeah.
So it's like, do you want to do a fourth year in YU? And the answer seems to be yes, but only because of things relating.
Right.
So I guess the question is when Benji said, you asked Benji, does he want to do a fourth year in YU? What's the answer? So you might say no, because you wish that you could get all those things in 3 years.
Some considerations as far as whether he wants to get a get are legitimate, like whether he loves his wife, whether he wants to spend the rest of his life with her. And some, like whether someone's holding a gun to his head and telling him to get a divorce, just don't. You don't feel shy
enough
to like he's got to get a divorce in the same way. I don't know.
I think Benji's point is, let's say the husband and wife can't get along. So like, he said, do you want to divorce your wife? And it's like, no, I wish like we could get along. I wish we could get along. I wish like.
Oh, that's an interesting example.
Thank you. But why is that so different than the case of the external pressure, right?
The death of the Gurna Babasa, that's the thing of the Gurna Babasa, which says, right? He's holding his arm in his shivab down, his love on his arm.
Good.
Let's look at
that Gemara. That's the third Gemara that's relevant to this discussion, right? Erchin Chafalev, Gitin Pechas, and Babasa Menzayan. So let's start here Menzayan and get a sense of this. So, Amar Rav Huna, let's get a volunteer. Josh Shapiro.
Amar Rav Huna, Tluyu Zavin, Zvinei Zvinei.
So what does that mean?
That if somebody is hanged, and he therefore, by somebody else, he sells it, then that sale is a valid sale.
Yeah, so you coerce somebody into selling something. You hang them by their toenails until they agree to a sale.
Yeah.
Okay. So tell you bizarre zvini zvini, my time.
My time, what's the reason? It's
cold now it's that my time senses that this is difficult. And in what sense did the victim consent to the transaction? So the Gemara's answer is my time.
Called him Zavin Inish. He loved the honest Mohammed Pradan.
Okay, so this I take it is Benji's point. Every sale is under duress because you want cash. You want the thing that you're getting in exchange. So there's no such thing as like, hey, I want to sell you my house. No, you want or you need the money. Otherwise you would gift it, I guess, right? So you're only selling because there's something else that's inducing you to sell. Is that the claim of? No. I think this is a bit of a strange Gemara. It's a strange claim. Why is the beauty?
It's just being consistent with the other two. Meaning, it is strange that they need to treat them. Or perhaps we already saw the issue. But it's sticking to this idea that one, the definition of one with your net desire.
All things considered,
which is tough in this case.
So I think in that sense, the Gemara Babasa is related, right, to the other Gemaras, because saying you're given all the inputs or preferences that you have, kind of, you never want it. It's not about like all things, like in isolation, I would not want to sell my house. In isolation, I would not want to give a get. But given that my wife can't cook, or given that my wife is terrible, or given that my wife doesn't like me, then I want to, right? The same thing, given that the Bezdin is really ruining my life, I'm going to get divorced. Now, I think that you're right that the Gemara Mabasa is consistent with the other Gemaras in that sense, but I think the word anus here sounds too strong to me. Anybody agree with that assessment, Sarah?
Right, I mean, like, is it like, what's the claim? And the claim is like, oh, external onus is no different than an internal onus, and internal onus is okay. Or is it saying that, oh, from the fact that internal onus, the fact that internal onus is
internal, valid, internal, external, just say what you mean by that, because it's not obvious. I think I know what you mean.
By internal psychological factor.
Right. You decided that you prefer cash over your property.
So let's say it a little more clear. So if what I'm calling an internal onus is sort of valid rut zone, and the next premise, which I think what you're having trouble with, and that's considered actually like an onus. Yeah, that's an onus. And maybe it's just redefining what expectations we have for sales. Like, you don't need such a high level of volition. Yeah. I think that's the more mechudash way to read it. You got to read it as like, well, you know.
So before you get to the different reasons of reading this Gemara, I'm just curious. Do you agree with the Gemara's line that it's ilav de anis lohava mizvin? Like, is the Gemara right to use the phrase anis here? So I'm hungry, so I buy pizza. Is that sale invalidated because I was forced by the need to eat?
No, that's an internal.
That's what Zachariah is saying, is internal, right? Like, no, it's, you're not forced to eat. You've made some rational decision that you prefer pizza over the two. Given that you're hungry and given that it, no, you'd prefer pizza rather than $2.75.
That's exactly the point. The government hunger is up. You get rational decisions.
What?
The hunger is eat up. You get rational decisions to eat up.
So the rational decision. You might think that rational decision depends on how suitable the other options are. Like you're choosing between like a variety of different paths. And then, hey, like, well, I'll give you an example. In philosophy of law, sometimes think of autonomy as having a suitable range of options open to you. That's what it means. Like, whereas someone who lacks autonomy is like when they don't have.
Like, if it's a famine and one guy owns all the bread, then that is kind of coercive.
Yeah, exactly. But if there's like 10 different stores I could buy from, and I'm choosing to pick, or I could pack lunch from home, or I could steal from somebody, or whatever. There are all these different ways to eat, and I freely choose one of those ways, then that's like a freely picked course of action, and you're acting autonomously. But if there's really only one suitable course of action, then you're not acting freely. So like, if you could only afford like the pizza, can't afford anything else. Can't, like, there's no other, you're not really acting volitionally, you're not making a rational decision in that case. There's no decision making. Decision is made for you. I think the idea here is that the pain is so strong that nobody could continue to undergo that pain. So you consent, you're not acting freely, right? Because the pain forces you into one course of action, which is to give a gift. So the question is, when the Gemara says "Kol d'mizvin inish ilav d'anis lav mizvin," you might think it's not fair for the Gemara to say that all onsim are the same. Or to put it differently, it's not fair to say that anything that bears on your consideration process and your deliberation is an onus. Is an onus. An onus is only when it's so overpowering that it forecloses all the other routes, courses of action open to you. Everybody see that? Sorry.
I think I understand what you mean a little better. I think actually the Gemara is actually assuming that there's like economic assumptions that allow the Gemara that stuff and land is always in all cases preferable
to
money. Kind of, we have a modern opposite assumption.
Right.
And therefore, right, as if someone
would, the S&P happy, is the new karka.
That's right.
If that's true. Crypto is the new karka. No.
And really, it's an assumption that
it was until like help us see it.
So assumption is, if there wasn't other factors, wasn't compelled into this situation where he needs money, there's no way he can live without this money, then he wouldn't be selling it. I think actually it is exactly using the word term onus, and that
okay.
has contracted option.
Okay, that's fair. The Gemara thinks that the thing that's bearing on his decision-making process is clearly so profound that it's like a fire sale. He's got to get rid of his karka so he has money. Although I'd point out that Talyuv is oven, I mean, that's still a very strong cold in Mizben in it. She loved the honest love of Mizben. And it's still very strong, right? Is it just Karka? Is it clear the Gemara is limited to just Karka here? But either way, the Gemara itself, and this is important for our further analysis, offers a distinction. This is where Zakaria is getting the internal versus external nomenclature from. So the Gemara itself rejects the comparison between Talyuv is oven and every sale. Right, so what's the Gemara's distinction? Moshe, do you want to tell us that distinction?
When the first saying that ultimately every action we make is in reaction to either an external circumstance or, let's say, a biological process, and why would
that? I'm not saying that.
Like, if you're hungry, you buy pizza. You wouldn't buy pizza if you're hungry.
I think it's just saying that it's making the point that I believe Benji made, that no decision is made in a vacuum. Like, decisions are made because other things are weighing on your decisions. Benji, I happen to know, thinks that it's all biological processes that are weighing on his decision. Right? That's your view. I'd say maybe the way out. But you know, all sorts of things. The point is that like lots of things are kind of forced are impinging on your deliberations.
Right? Where does how do we have consent if everything to do is in reaction to?
That's kind of what the Gemara is saying. Right. One way of reading this line is that you never really do have das. Das is a myth, right? Everything is on us. And then the Gemara's answer is okay, but you know, some onsim are worse than other onsim. Right, which is what? Skaria?
No,
yeah, so Dilma.
Dilma, Shani owns the Nashe on Sada Queen.
Right, how could you compare
the onus that comes from yourself versus the onus that comes from others?
So what do you think of that? What do you make of that distinction between onus the Nashe versus onus the Achim? The Gemara is saying, how could you compare external onsim versus internal onsim?
Right, good question.
What does the Gemara even mean by internal onsim here?
Like, if you hate your wife.
If your wife, that causes you to hate her.
No. No, I'm saying, like, the distinction between, like, drives are internal to yourself versus, like,
that's such an interesting comment, man.
Using
I mean, that is kind of the question that I'm raising, that this onus the Nafshe versus onus the Dachirim, right? Like, what is that?
You're going to get what you're going to lose, what someone else is going
to. You ever hear people say things like, you know, I know that I shouldn't be feeling this way, but I just feel this way. Like, sorry that I hate you. All right, it's just what I'm feeling. You're like, well, can you control what you're feeling? And they're just like, no. Anybody ever have that experience? No. I'm just describing to you my feeling. I mean, it is not clear where this onsa de nafshe versus onsa da. Like, what is it? What does it even mean onsa de nafshe? What's an internal onus? Onus.
I think it was talking about I don't suppose it is exactly internal, but that's really right. We have like a distinction between positive and negative. Sort of motivation, right? Where we think that, like, I'm hungry, so I'd like to take away the feeling
right.
of hunger.
Right, right. This was the Josh Daniel debate.
But I think that.
Right, like, do you want to divorce your wife to have the pain go away, or do you just want the pain to go away?
Right, but I'm saying, I think that, like, internally, it's really they're all internal, like, even external. Because either way, like, the external thing is going to cause you internally to have some sort of wrestling, whether to have something happen or to stop something from happening. But, like, to say it's, like, external, it's external to the torturous poking with the hot poker, yeah, but really, like, the wrestling isn't coming from the torture, it's coming from me not liking hot poker. Like, right.
I think we have to figure out this. What exactly is the more I have in mind? This internal external distinction. Let's stop here for now. So I want to pick up with this discussion. Rotsani get Musa. So definitely cover till bottom of 15. Probably next year. I also want to introduce the distinctions between different types of coercion: physical coercion versus social coercion. That's from the bottom of 15 onwards. All right, let me just.